Okay, what a song, what a night we've already had. And now the most important part, and you say, oh, Pastor, it's already light. I know what time it is, but this is the most important part right here. Amen? So let's not neglect this, and we'll get right to it. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew. Stand with me when you find that, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to deter away for 1 week from Acts to be in Matthew chapter 6. I was talking to the Lord this week, trying to work on my Acts sermon, and it just wasn't coming together. And I've been doing this long enough to know when a sermon just will not come together, usually it means God is causing it to be difficult for a reason, and it could be that He wants us to do something else. And that was certainly the case, because as I reflected on the week and what God had done in our lives, you saw in the clip and in the testimonies the message about the ladders, where you're splitting between one and the other. And God continued to bring that back to my mind. And then He brought me to this passage. And I think you'll see why He brought me to this passage when we start reading it. Chapter 6, beginning in verse number 19, we'll read to verse 24. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Say this together with me. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We try, but you can't. And so that's the message tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings. We need to hear from you, so we pray for your grace. We love you. We thank you for the testimonies. Help us to give you our attention and help that tonight it would be all about you. We trust that you're working. We trust that you will work. I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight. And I pray that you'd speak to the heart tonight who needs this message, because it's from you to them. I pray you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. There was a farmer one time who came to his wife, and they had cattle, and one of the cattle had been expecting calves, and the cow that was expecting delivered twins. And the farmer was surprised and excited. He ran into his wife and he said, honey, our cow, it delivered twins, and what a blessing that is. And he told his wife, he said, I believe I know what God would have us to do. There's a brown one and a white one, and I believe that what we're going to do is we're going to raise these cows together, and one of them is going to be our cow, and the other cow is going to be the Lord's cow. And he just talked about how they're going to raise them together and feed them and develop these animals. They'll sell them, and then the proceeds for theirs they'll keep, and for the Lord's they'll give it to the Lord. Well, the wife asked the question that maybe most of us are thinking. Which cow is the Lord's? Is it the brown one or is it the white one? Well, he said, we'll just see how it goes as they're raised together. And, you know, then whenever it's all done, then one will be the Lord's and one will be ours. Well, one day he came into the house and he had a real sad look on his face. Walked to his wife, and she said, what's wrong? What's the matter, honey? And he said, look, honey, the Lord's cow died. You know, I suppose I wonder, why is it always that the Lord's cow is the one that dies? You know? I think the reason why is because we love things. We love our things. So often what happens, the Lord gets our leftovers. Now, in my house, there's not a lot of leftovers. But in life, we do the things that we do, and if there's any left over, God gets that. We use our finances that way. We'll pay all the bills, and whatever's left over, we'll give that to God. You know, it's amazing. There's usually not a lot of leftovers if we operate that way, if any. We'll give, like Brother Sutton said at camp, we tip God sometimes. Give him a tip, you know. He gets our leftover time. We're busy. We talked about that this morning. We have all these things on our schedule and the things that we're doing. And if we have any extra time, then we'll give that to the Lord. The Lord gets the leftovers. Do you know the Pharisees were that way in the text? When Jesus addressed them, he's cutting right to, for them, was straight to the heart. And by the way, for you and I too. Because when we start talking about money, and we start talking about possessions, and we start talking about time, and we start talking about our commitments, and the things we're involved with, and the things that keep us from God, then we're on touchy ground. It's sort of like we're walking on eggshells, even though I don't tend to, you know, be nervous about walking on eggshells. But it could be an eggshell thing, because we're sensitive as it relates to all of those things. Well, the Pharisees Jesus is preaching to here, they're that way. They love their possessions. They love their money. And so Jesus goes to them, and he begins to address this heart issue that they have. The heart issue related to their possession and their love for their possessions. He says, he speaks here about treasures. He talks about treasures that are laid up or stored up. And the implication there is he's speaking to a people who love their things, and what they're doing is they're giving their life and their investment and their passion towards storing up their possessions. He speaks of possessions that moth and rust can destroy. This would have been like cloth. Now, in Bible times, cloth would have been a very expensive thing. Brother Sutton talked about it at camp where, you know, when something had leprosy, or someone had leprosy rather, you would have to go through the cloth. And he did a sermon on the warp and the woof, which is the threads as it goes up and down. And what you would do is you would be sure that the threads or the cloth of your clothing didn't have any of the leprosy remains on it. Well, why would they do that? You and I wouldn't operate that way. We would throw away our clothes and go get new clothes. Well, clothing in Bible times, there was no supermarket. There was no clothing department where you could just go buy new clothes. It was a very important and treasured possession. So they would clean them and they would take care of them. And so it was an important part. But you know what destroys clothes? Moths do. And so there would be a treasure of clothes stored up, but moths could destroy. Precious jewels, the rust can destroy those. And anybody who has any of these possessions is always under threat of theft. I remember I won a free throw contest in high school. This is me telling about my basketball career again. And I won the trophy, but I also won a fossil watch. And I'd never had a fossil watch before, and it was shiny and nice, and it was really sweet. But it was what it connected to. When I would wear that fossil watch, it reminded me that I'm an amazing free throw shooter, right? Just bear with me here. So one day I went into my room and my watch was gone. All my watches were gone. And I had a bucket that had a lot of quarters in it. All the quarters were gone. And I realized I'd been robbed. And you know, take the quarters, take the possessions, take all that stuff that doesn't matter to me. But that watch, it hurt. It hurt because of the memory and what it represented in my life. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, or to these Pharisees, who's invested their life in possessions, and their hearts are attached to these things. Their heart is in love with these possessions. It might just be that you've always wanted it, or you've been working towards it, like sort of like a retirement and this vacation or this opportunity, and you get that and you receive it and you cherish it, and it's a part of your life. Or maybe your health, and you invest in your health, and you take care of yourself, and you eat right, and you do all these things. But here's the point, is we can invest all these things, and we can have all these possessions, and we can work all of our lives, but moth and rust and thieves can take it away in just a moment of time. And we work our lives for this, and we give our hearts to it, but here's what Jesus says. Why don't we invest ourselves in something that nothing can destroy, and nothing can steal, and nothing can take away? The things of heaven, the things of God. And so you have two sides here. You have on one side those that are giving themselves to possessions, and on the other side you have somebody who's investing themselves in the things of God, in the things that are eternal and have eternal implications and eternal rewards. Look what he says as he goes on. So we're in chapter 6. Look at verse number 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That feels like a grenade. That feels like a landmine. It feels like when Jesus said that, it was almost like the coup de grace, the death blow. Because yes, you can talk about possessions and you can talk about the things that are in heaven, but there's no real ultimatum. You know, you'll lose those possessions, but it doesn't really motivate you to change your lifestyle. It doesn't really motivate you to even think about what motivates you in life, whether it's the things of possessions of this world or eternal things. But when he said that, now he's really pointing out where the issue is. The issue is in your heart. And the things that you invest yourself into is where your heart will be attached. And so what happens in life is we give ourselves to all of these pursuits, and at the same time we're pursuing these possessions and these advancements in life, we are also turning our heart away from God. That's what he's pointing out. So we give ourselves to these at the same time we're turning away from the Lord. He goes on with this same point. Gives a different angle at it. Verse 22, he says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." So he's pointing out here about the singleness of our focus, the singleness of our life. Sort of like the two ladders where you have on this side and on this side. The singleness of focus is for somebody to be devoted or committed to the light or to the things of God, the things that bring glory to God, which is the light of God. And the singleness of focus is to say you can't be looking both ways and have singleness of focus. You can't be going both directions because you'll be split. It reminds me of James when he said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." That instability in our life it comes as a result of us being determined to be focused on one side or the things of our possessions in life and then the things of God on the other side. And so there's a split in our heart. Look what he says as he goes on, verse 23. "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" So then we have on one side the work of God in us, on the other side the work of darkness. We're hoping that we can hold on to both sides, but it can't work that way. You know, it's quite a deceptive, quite a deception that we do in our own hearts to think that we can. It breaks my heart actually to see Christians who think that they can straddle both sides and they can go both ways, thinking that whenever you're over here and you're going this way, that you do, hey, I'm focused on God right now. I'm focused on God right now. But then we leave God and we sort of leave that, you know, that focus and that determination. We come over here on this side and our determinations, our focus changes, and we think that, well, we can be focused and single on this side. But our heart is split. And where we're giving our attention and our focus is where our heart will be. But here's the point that Jesus is about to make. You can't do both. And we think that we can. We think that we can give, we can invest ourselves in God, but we can also invest ourselves equally or more in the things of this world by giving our attention and our heart to it, and it won't divide us. But God says it doesn't work that way. In fact, it cannot work that way. He makes that plain in verse number 24 when he said, "No man can serve two masters." You cannot. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." So the implication here is that God is leading you in one way, and you're not giving attention to it because you don't want to turn loose of what he's wanting to do over here, or rather what you want to do over here. So God's leading you in a direction. He's speaking to your heart, but you don't really want to fully commit to that because you're holding on to something over here. And you tell yourself you can do both, and you hold on to both, but you cannot. So I need two helpers. Brother David, if you could help me. Brother Chris, if you could help me. Come on up here on the platform. I was looking for some ropes, and I had to. So you hold on to that end. We'll stretch it out. So you go that way, and I'm going to hold on to this end. Don't pull it out of my hand, though. So you hold on to this, that end down there. So you pull that way, and you pull that way. Let's stretch it. You guys walk away. Okay, that's good. Don't pull my arms off. So what we have is God pulling us one way, leading us and guiding us, and then we could say the world or the devil. Did I pick the right guy? Anyway, Amen. So pulling us the other way. You know what often is that way? For some, it's lust. Lust is this way. Lust is a destroyer. The lust of your heart will pull you away from God. So what happens is you come to church and God begins to speak to your heart about your lust. He says that stuff that you have on your phone, you need to delete it. And he speaks to you and he pulls. He pulls you in that direction. You're not ready to let it go, but he's pulling. And there's something in you that wants to get rid of it. You want to stop doing it. You want to give your heart to God. But the devil and the things that has your heart, that lust, it pulls too. And so you go home and then you have this pull that's this way. And that struggle that's in there. This is a real thing in our life. When I was in high school, I had a girlfriend. And it wasn't an appropriate relationship. And God had called me to be a pastor. And I had this relationship. And I should not have had this relationship. And in my heart, I knew it. So I remember I had this relationship. God was stirring inside me. It was 100% built on lust. It was not motivated by the things of God. I didn't receive any counsel. I wasn't willing to talk to my mom and my dad and my pastor about it. That tells you a lot right there, doesn't it? And then I went to college to learn how to be a pastor, but I had a wrong relationship. And I remember sitting in class like the first week of school in Brother Dr. Only class. If you're in, anyway, my wife knows Dr. Only. Anyway. I heard a lot of stories in that class. But I remember sitting in Dr. Only's class. I don't even know what class it was. And God started talking to me in the middle of one of Brother Only's stories, I'm sure. And you know what God said? It was like I'm sitting there in Bible college learning how to be a pastor motivated by lust. And God said, you can be a pastor and you can serve me with your life and you can follow me with your life. And he tugs. Or you can follow your lust and you can get with this girl and you can go this direction, but here's what's going to happen. You're not going to be in the ministry and you're not going to serve me because she's not the one. And I remember sitting in class and I needed to make a decision right there. Do you know what my decision was? It's either God and let go of the world or follow the world and let go of God. Do you know why I had to do that? Because you can't do both. We think we can do both. Watch this, young people. You think you can serve God and be right with him and on fire and close to him and hold on to lust, but you cannot. You have to let go of that lust, which means you have to, by faith, obey God. I decided in that moment. Well, I think you know what I decided. I want to be in the ministry and I want to serve God. And I know his life is best. Ooh, and it is. Miss Sarah said ministry is... It's kind of unbelievable. I don't know how you said it, but that's what I was thinking. There's nothing like being able to serve God. And I say amen to that. You know, I anchor it all the way back to that day when I decided about lust. I mean, there's a lot of good decisions made, but that was a big one. You know what? I wouldn't be here today. So I praise God for it. You know, there's people in college that were being tugged by God and lust pulled them away from the things of God. Pull that. There you go. Lust pulled them out of college and serving God. Lust pulled them away from the Lord. And I'm afraid that it's happening today in young people where God is working in your heart and your lust is pulling you away from the things of God. Let me challenge you tonight to listen to the Lord, to release that pull that's in your heart, pulling you to lust, pulling you to an inappropriate relationship, pulling you away from the things of God. Causing you to think the wrong way and think the wrong things. Is it just young people, us adults? Is it just young people that struggles with lust? Is it just young people that God's working in your heart and the devil's pulling you and lust is trying to get a grip in your life? God says, here's what you need to do. You need to decide that you're going to follow me. And what you need to decide is you're going to let go of that lust. And you're going to pull yourself. Because you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. We tell ourselves we can, but we cannot. So lust, you know, it's not just lust. There are other things in our life that get our attention, that get our heart. How about the topic of our text, money? You know, money is a strong pull over here. Money is a strong pull in this world. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it in the future. Money, one writer said it like this, money runs the world. Money runs the world. It motivates people. You know why there are people, some people aren't at church tonight. You know why? Because of money. Motivated by that dollar. So the world pulls. God says, you need to let me take care of that money. You need to let me take care of your possessions and your promotion. You know what I have found? Thanks, guys, you can let go. You know what I have found? Is that in my life, there have been, I would say, probably more than anything that has pulled people away from walking with God. Not more than anything but money. I remember in college, when I was going to college, there was a man that was going to be my roommate. And we were excited about it. I mean, he was my friend. We were going to go to Bible college. We were going to do this together. You know, when you have a friend and you're going to move forward and it's college and we're going to have this camaraderie and this friendship and sharpening. And we need that kind of sharpening. We need good friends like that, don't we? And so I was excited about it. And he was moving from, Indiana, and he was coming to Oklahoma. We were going to go to college together. We're going to be roommates. And it was awesome. And I remember the week that we were getting ready to start school, he calls and says he's not coming. And my heart was just broken about that. And I didn't understand. Like, to me, if you surrender to God, to me, if you're committed to God, then why would there be any other option? There is no other option. And for me, it's surrender and it's God and He takes care of the rest. But for some, along the way, the devil puts the dollar signs. And the devil puts the temptation to say, you don't want to surrender to God because you're going to miss out. It's not always just money, but often it is. It's the career that you want and the path that you want and the advancement that you want and all the things, the perks that come along with the career and the advancement and in the college and all of those things that come along with that. And it motivates people in this world so they don't listen to God as He's working in them and calling them and speaking to them. And so I had over and over and over, I've watched young people who God has worked in their heart, and then they have gotten their attention on the things of this life and the things of this world. They become motivated by a career or some advancement, and they neglected to follow God. And we think along the way that we can hold on to both. It's all right. I can serve God and I can follow Him. And watch this. You can come to church and you can read your Bible and you can determine to seek Him. But you know what you'll find every time you come to this altar from now and really ultimately to the end of your life, if you've rejected God's work in your life and rejected God's call in your life, is you'll come to church and you'll seek to serve Him. But in the years to come, you'll come to this altar and you'll remember that God spoke to you. You'll remember that He called you. You'll remember that He is guiding you to serve Him with your life and you decided to do something else. Sure, God's mercy is available. His long-suffering is available. And we can serve Him no matter our state. But what a sad state it is that we allow ourselves to be distracted and moved away from the path of God to serve money or serve some career or serve some advancement. And we're missing it. And in our minds, how we let that happen is because we think we can do both. Amen. We can serve God and we can serve mammon. But here's what God says. You need to hate all of those other things. You need to determine to deny yourself. I think it was one of the boys said that tonight. Otherwise, Caleb, you need to die to yourself. You need to deny yourself. We've been to a funeral, right? I'm sure there's been a casket here, right here before. And there's a person's body that's in there. But you know what's amazing about that person's body? They're not there. It's just a body. Their soul, that person, is somewhere else. Here's what God says. When you die to yourself, you're like the person that's in the casket. You're dead. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you want. It's not about the direction that you would like to go. You are dead. So the life which I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what it means to live and to deny. Live for Him and to deny self. And until we learn to submit ourselves to Him and release the pull of this world and advancement and career and all the possessions and all the things that take us away from surrender and full commitment to God, we'll never understand it. We'll never fully grasp what it could be and what it should be. Brother Park spoke on Thursday night at camp, the final message for us, because we left on Friday morning, and it was at the Chuck Wagon, which meant it was outside. It was just a blast. It was a fun time. You saw part of the skit and all that. The sermon was about young people who are called into the ministry. The sermon was about young people who not just were called and desired to go, but how often moms and dads are the ones who seek to try to help keep their kids from going into the ministry, from being surrendered. And Brother Levi, who has surrendered to be in the ministry, testified, just gave a snippet of what he said. But there's email. Brother Park gets emails all the time of churches that don't have pastors. And why is it true? Why is it true that there are not very many young people who are going into the ministry? But it could be that it's not because God's not calling. It's not because God's not tugging. It's because we have a generation and generations past of young people who won't let go of the things of this world and won't let go of lust and won't let go of the possessions and the things that motivate us, money, to fully surrender and commit themselves to God. And sometimes it's because moms and dads are wanting their children to pursue this life instead of being fully surrendered to God. And what a sad thing it is if there's any moms and dads who are hindering their kids from being in the ministry. Say amen to that.
Amen.
He told a story about a man who, or a young man who'd surrendered to be a pastor. He's on his way. He graduated high school. He's in the car with the youth pastor. What an exciting day. That's going to be you one day, by the way. One of some of these guys, and there's one sitting right there. Well, let's not think about that. I'm thinking about my own kids. I'm not ready for that day. But we're going to have some kids in here, and Brother Stussy's going to pack up all their stuff, or maybe family and Brother Stussy, we're going to pack stuff in the car, and we're going to head to Oklahoma City because we're going to Bible college, and we're going to serve God with our life. Man, what a day. I'm getting chills thinking about it. On the journey to Bible college, Brother Sutton talks about this young man graduated, surrendered to be a pastor. The youth pastor in the car on the way to Bible college in Oklahoma City gets a phone call from his dad. His dad on the other end of the line says, "Son, if you turn around and come back, I'll give you half the business." The son said, "No, thanks, Dad." Continued conversation. The dad says, "I'll give you three-quarters," or he goes on, "I'll give you more of the business. I'll give you, offered him more advancement in the business." The son said, "Not interested." Then the father said this, the third time. He said, "I'll give you half the business now. I'll give you a contract that in 5 years you'll be the full owner of the entire business if you turn around and come back right now." The son on the phone said, "Okay, Dad, I'll take it." Brother, the youth pastor called Brother Sutton and said, "Pastor, what do I do?" He said, "Well, you can't take him anyway. That's kidnapping. So you got to turn around and bring him back." Brother Sutton sat down with this young man, just graduated from high school, surrendered to be a pastor, by the way, and turned around and come back to take over his dad's business. By the way, not going to the ministry. And Brother Sutton tried to reason with him and talk sense into him. And you know the only thing the young man could say? "Pastor, do you know how much money we're talking about?" That's all he could say. "Pastor, do you know how much money we're talking about?" You know, I feel like one day there's going to be a judgment that's coming. Let me not say feel like. There's a judgment day that's coming. And you know who some of the most judged and the ones that I would hate to be there whenever it comes to this judgment time is parents who hindered their kids from going into the ministry. Watch out. Let me have your attention. There are people, listen, there are people on the mission field, they're going to die and go to hell. Because we don't have young people surrendering and being hindered from going into the ministry and serving God. And all for what? All for what? So we can hold on to both? When you can't even hold on to both. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot. Because what will happen is where you give your heart, your treasure, where you give your treasure, your heart will be there. And you'll go away from God because you can't do both. Amen. What we need tonight is some young people and some old people. Let me just say it that way. You're old if you're not young. You figure out where you are with that. Young people and old people who need to go ahead and decide to let go. of that rope and say, I'm tired of fighting for my own way. You know, God said he'll provide for you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and most of these things will be added unto you. He didn't say that. He said all. That means he's going to take care of you. You know, it's much more exciting, by the way, when you're serving God. It's a lot more exciting. It's pretty fun, actually. You get nervous sometimes, but you know what? Faith takes you through that because you know God's going to pull through. And it's exciting because you're just wondering how God's going to do it, and he always does. And so what we would be wise to do tonight is to go ahead and let go and let God have our heart. We need to submit tonight. You know what we need to do? We need to invest. Invest. Not in the treasures of this world. Wasn't that a blessing? All of you who gave towards camp, don't raise your hand. You gave. Pastor, it was me. I gave. No, don't do that. You had your reward. When you were watching that video and you gave towards that, didn't it fire you up a little bit? Did you know that was an investment? Why? Because that's eternal. Those are eternal rewards to your account. And it's not just about our money, by the way. It's not just about our money. No. It's our heart. And let God have your heart tonight. Stop fighting him. There's some lust that's going on in our room. Teenagers, look at me. There's some lust that's going on in our room. Relationships you shouldn't have, and you know it. You need to give it to God right here. You need to let go and say, God, I want to serve you. Because can I go ahead and tell you this? Look up here. Can I tell you this? It's not going to be what you think. Oh, can I get through to you, young people? It's not going to be what you think. Like, oh, but I love it, and this person, and this is so good. Yeah, but it's lust. It's not the real thing. It's not what you think. Let go. Give yourself to the Lord. Those of you who have denied your walk with God and your future with God, motivated by some sort of a career or some sort of a path of possessions and advancement, let's go ahead and turn that loose and say, God, I'll do whatever you want. You know, my favorite surrender isn't necessarily to be pastor or missionary. You know what my favorite surrender is? God, I'll do whatever you want. You know why I love that one? Because there's not one person in this whole room that can't surrender that. I will do whatever you want. Moms and dads, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said that. How about this one? Saul said this and we're done. Aren't you glad we're almost done? Saul said this right after he got saved. And this is what we all need to say. And this is it. This is the conclusion right here. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Let go and embrace God. You know what you'll say? Oh man, I waited too long to do that. I'm so glad. Let's make that decision.